Hi, friends. Welcome to the Neighboring Well podcast, where we explore what it means to connect with the people around you and how to get better at finding and cultivating meaningful friendships. It's so good to be here. My name's Kaylee.
Hi, and I'm Tiffany.
So today, I know that New Year's coming up, and so a lot of people are kind of setting goals, and we wanted to do something a little bit different. So we're going to be focusing kind of on just how to listen and how to support people without trying to fix them.
And you're going to love this episode because you don't have to set a single goal.
Exactly.
It's the best New Year resolution ever.
Yes. Yes. You can sit back and do nothing.
What we want to talk about is helping people with their goals, how to support them better in the goals that they've set, the people around you, and how not to take over and fix their problems or make their decisions, but just how to be a good supporter. And part of that is being a good listener. And we were laughing because I think I might have mentioned this before, but my kids always say, "Mom said," and then it usually follows some like, "You shouldn't be doing that because mom said," but I never said any of the things that they say. And so dad said, "You know, we should make a book for you for Christmas called Mom Said, and it's all the things you never said." And
your posterity is like, wow, this lady was really,
I know, she was either really mean or really strict or whatever. But so we just always laugh every time the kids say, "Mom said," I always turn around and I'm like, "I did not. I never said that." So we're going to talk about how important listening is in yes. this conversation of setting goals. And you had a good quote, I think, from Winnie the Pooh, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So part of the reason I think listening is so important, just like the why, would be one, it actually makes you magnetic. Like, I really feel like the people who are really good at listening and know how to listen without jumping in and fixing problems are the people that you want around. You know, like, those are the people that you really just connect with a lot easier and you feel seen by.
Totally.
And so I liked this quote by Winnie the Pooh. There's two. The first one says, "You can't stay in your corner of the forest waiting for others to come to you. You have to go to them sometimes." And I loved that because I feel like that's such a good reminder of, like, when you're listening to someone, you are going to them. Like, you are there for them. So if your mind starts wandering off into, oh, like, how does this affect me? Or how do I make them see the right way? You know, then I don't know if you're going to really come off as like a good listener. It's going to be like, oh, this person has an agenda. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think you just imagine yourself, you just walked through their front door, and while you're in their house, you don't have a say in how they decorate or yeah. what food they fix. You know, you're in their space. And so all you're there to do is to compliment, ask questions, learn more about them. And if you just think anytime I is inserted in your thought, then you're off on the wrong direction. You've gone back home. You know, you want to stay in their house and just support them. So yeah, that's so good. Okay, what was your second quote?
Okay, the second one is really funny. It's, if the person you are talking to does not appear to be listening, be patient. It may simply be that they have a small piece of fluff in their ear.
So that's like the other side of it, right? If you're the one that has the problem and the person you're talking to hasn't quite learned those skills of listening yet, that's okay. Like, you can help teach them. And I think that happens by being specific. This is what I need from you. Mm-hmm. I would really like to tell you about this, and I don't want any comments. I just want to be able to talk.
Yeah. I think it's so cool how visual that is, because for me, I'm like, okay, if I'm listening to someone and I'm picturing fluff in my ear, nothing they're saying is like, it kind of gets through, but it's like a filter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like it stops at the ear and then it filters through and then some of the sound gets in. And so I feel like that's so accurate because sometimes I'm listening to someone and then I'm listening through this filter of fixing, like I'm in a fixing
right.
mode, you know? And so right. it's like, if you take the fluff out of your ear and you just hear it for what they're saying, you're just listening because you want to understand them or you want to just really like grasp all of it. That's a way different, you know, that takes the fluff out pretty easily.
Well, yeah. And it makes me think of whose thoughts are you hearing more? So if you have fluff in your ear, then you're hearing your thoughts more than what they're saying. But mm-hmm. if you remove that, then their voice is louder than your thoughts.
Yeah.
So maybe let's talk about how to remove that fluff. Like, what do you do to have their yeah. voice be louder than your thoughts? And we have a really good example because one of my kids is in college right now and he has some big decisions to make. He's trying to figure out career and what he wants to do with his life and what classes to take and whether to be in school or to do something else. And those are all really big things, especially yeah. at that age. It's like, you feel like your whole life has to be figured out in 1 week, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so he's come to both of us talking about his thoughts. And to be honest, I've had some parts where I'm really good in listening. And even though in my mind, maybe alarms are going off, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, take a breath. Let's listen yeah. here. And then other times, and I'm like, well, I was teasing him because we kind of have this joke where I tell him he should just be an entrepreneur because he's just mm-hmm. a go-getter. He just likes to be busy and doing and outdoors. And
yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what job you can actually find that will satisfy all the things you want. So you might just need to create your own. And
yeah.
he's just always really pushed against that. No, mom, I don't want to be an entrepreneur. I don't want to do that. And so now it's kind of become a joke like, well, you know, you could have everything you want if you just made up your own job. And so yesterday we were talking and I said, once he was saying, you know, that he can't find anything that just fits what he really wants. And I said, okay, I just want to say out loud, down the road, when you're making $1 million as an entrepreneur with your own business, will you come back and just say, mom, you were right? Like, can I just, will you just say that? And we both laughed and he was like, actually, mom, I probably won't do that because I don't want to have to say you're right. And, but that's so true. So that was one of my not better moments of listening and letting him decide, like, you know, I really do know better than you, you know? So
that
we're kind
of not better moments of letting him decide you were right is what you're saying.
That was like not even fluff. That was like I poured wax and sealed my ear and it just was like, here's what you should do.
So, that's such an accurate, like, I feel like sometimes when I'm talking to people, I have definitely more of like a wax plug in my yeah. ear. You know, yeah. because it's like I have this ingrained idea of what's the best thing for them to do. Mm-hmm. And like pulling that wax out of your ear, I don't know if you've ever seen that, you know.
Oh, it's painful. So satisfying. But it's so satisfying.
Like all the hair is gone, you know,
yeah.
like
yeah.
that's painful. So that's kind of interesting, just like how big of a difference it can make in listening versus like what kind of blockage are you putting there? I used to do violin when I was a kid mm-hmm. and we would perform in this like really big hall that had like, it was very well made to like, you know, make the sound amplify throughout the whole, it had like these walls that were like all
right.
patterned and stuff. And the interesting thing is like when you're in a place like that and all the doors are shut, it functions as kind of like it guides the sound exactly the way it was made. But it is kind of an echo chamber, you know, like
mm-hmm.
it doesn't echo, but it's just, it can only function in the way it was made to function. Whereas like if you open up a door or if you had like a garage door that you opened, then it would throw everything off, you know?
Yeah.
And so I feel like sometimes we get that way, like with our own heads, where we're like, we have this exact way that we filter information. It goes through our worldview and it goes through our personal experience and it goes through all of these things. And then it comes down to making a decision, you know, and that's kind of like the way that we function.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we have to open up a door when we're listening to someone and kind of throw that off a little bit.
Maybe like let some fresh air in, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think the thing is, you could totally be right. Like maybe you do have experience in that area and it's like, I've done that before, it doesn't work. Or I've done this, it does work. So you actually could be right. But then they lose all the knowledge and experience they would gain by figuring it out for themselves. So yeah. You telling them how to do something or how to do it better doesn't actually help them get better.
Yeah.
You know, it takes away the opportunity for them to grow. And so, yeah, opening that door, you just let a little bit of fresh air and maybe your ideas are a little stale. Maybe you need to, you know, think differently. And that was making me think, so what do? So maybe some of the first things are being present and not future thinking, which is hard with goals because you're always thinking about the future. In the future, I want to look like this, or in the future, I want to behave this way. But when you're listening, you don't really want the future to get involved, because that usually ends up bringing with it worries or consequences instead of just exploring. Like you, we've said this a lot, I feel like, but you just really need to be more curious in everything. So let's talk about being present. How, when you're listening to someone share their thoughts, how can you be present and help them work through on their own this decision or whatever their, you know, trial, whatever they're needing to share with you? What can you do to be more present?
I think for me, I've noticed that I have to take myself out of the
equation.
Like with my siblings, if they come to me and they're like, hey, I need advice on this, or like, you know, my little siblings email me for advice and things, or like I'll have good conversations when I'm back home with people. And I think it's easier for me to take myself out of that equation because I'm like, this is their life and I'm just along for the ride. You know, I just get to kind of see it from this outside perspective. And it's cool when they let me in and tell me, hey, this is how I'm feeling about this. I think it's like really interesting and I love learning about them more. But that's kind of, it's easy for me to stay in that spot because it's not something, I don't know, I'm not living
with
them.
You're not the parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in a way, it's harder because they're more likely to listen to your advice than to my advice, for example. And so, you know, if a friend or sibling comes to you, you got to be careful what you say because they're more likely to trust you and maybe not follow exactly. But so I think in that circumstance, it's really important to try not to have it be your personal advice. Unless they specifically ask for it, like I need advice on this thing.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, they've given me permission to insert my opinion about this.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I'm trying to remember what this quote was. I heard a quote recently that was about advice giving. It was basically saying like, don't give advice. Listening is really 99% of the time all that people need. And they are very capable of figuring it out themselves. Oftentimes they have the answer and they just need a listening, you know, they just need literal support, but not, you know, injection of information. And so that's something that I struggle with in some aspects of my life is keeping it to just the listening. Like, if Bryson comes up, my husband comes up and is telling me something about his life and I have the immediate, like, let me help you, let me fix it. I have all these answers for you. And so I think It's like, oh, I have to step back. And I do that with some friends too, that I notice like, oh, well, this is what I've done, or this is a book I've read. And it's like, it really takes some self-control to like ease off of that, you know?
And, oh, yeah.
And so I think just being aware before I go into a conversation of like, today I am not giving advice, because even though it's easy to do and I have all these answers in my head and I have all these things that could be very helpful for them, I am not here to do that. That is not what I'm here to do. And if they ask me for advice, which they will more often if I don't give it freely, then yeah, I will give it. But most of the time, they don't actually need that.
And I think it goes back to our super great visual of wax in your ear. But I think maybe it requires preparation. So if you actually know in advance you're going to have a conversation, that's easy because you can prepare for it. And I think one of the ways you prepare is by saying you're only going to ask questions. Mm-hmm. Almost like a game. Okay, we're going to play this game where I actually can't say anything unless it's a question.
Yeah.
And that's a good way to turn it over to what the other person is thinking, because you're not interjecting your own thoughts. You're asking, how are you feeling? What are you thinking? What are you doing currently about this?
Yeah.
And so if you have time, and if you don't have time, practicing asking questions on a regular basis will help when you do get into those spur of the moment discussions. And someone says, hey, I've got this problem, I wonder if you have a sec to listen. Mm-hmm. Then you've already been practicing. So I think just really practicing asking questions is a good way to prepare for those conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you can also be preparing yourself so that when conversations come up, it's more of a muscle memory thing to be like, oh, switch off the advice, switch off the advice, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because your brain is made for that. Like, it's trying to quickly wrap up problems and move on to the next thing. Like, that's just kind of how we're wired. So automatically you're going to try to figure out how to wrap up this problem and move on. And we want to pause and let our brain know we can take a moment. Like, we actually don't need to rush past this right now. Mm-hmm. So let's just stop. And
yeah, I mean, I think that comes from a place of you want to be important to them. And for some reason, if we are helpful to somebody, you know, if they make a decision and it benefits them and it was due to us, then that helps us feel good about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that is really hard to like recognize and kind of overcome. And so when you're like sitting there listening to someone and they're saying all these things and you have all these thoughts coming in your head that are like, oh, okay, they just need to do this. Like, it's clear as day. This is just what they need to do. As soon as I have that thought, that's become my trigger to, oh, open up a door, you know, air some things out. We are not giving advice and we are not trying to be important to this person.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what we're here to do. We are here to listen. Just that is it. That is all we're here to do. And I think recognizing that helps me know what to do next, because then it's like, I know the reason why I'm doing this, you know? And then it's like, okay, if that's not the reason why, then what else is there? It's, well, then I guess I'll get to know this person. Like, that's the only other thing you can do when someone gives you information is, you know?
I wonder if there's something like some little catchphrase or statement you could make at the beginning that triggers yourself to go into that mode. So like whenever someone starts like, oh, I'm really struggling with this, I wonder if you just said, all right, I'm here to listen. Let me know if you need something different, or, you know, just make up your own catchphrase. And every time you say that, it's just telling your mind, okay, we're going into a different mode right now.
Yeah.
And then you.
Yeah.
You know, proceed with wherever the conversation goes with that person. And I also think it has to do with short term gratification versus long-term gratification. Mm-hmm. When you give advice, you're kind of seeking that short-term, oh yeah, that's such good advice, right in the moment.
Yeah.
But you can still get that in the long-term if you're willing to wait. You know, mm-hmm. people that you really listen to almost always come back and say, like, I really like sharing this with you because I know you're a good listener. I know that you're not going to judge me. Or mm-hmm. so that, you know, that kind of praise that we all tend to seek for, it'll come, but yeah. it's going to come later if you do yeah. it right. You know,
I feel like there also is this kind of idea that I get sometimes where it's like, okay, this person needs help. And so a lot of times it's a lot harder to sit with something, like sit in the mud with someone, than to be like, here's some wipes, you know, let's put you on a towel. Let's at least get you out of the mud. It's like a lot harder to just kind of sit and get all like muddy with them. And so I think that's the part that I need to work on the most is like, I'm not going to fix this person and I need to be okay if this never is fixed. Like I need to be okay if this is always how things are. And what else is happening here? Like what else besides fixing the problem, what else is going on that's beneficial for them and for me and for, you know?
Well, and I think yeah, that's so true because that makes me think, you know, with our example of my son, instantly now my prayers are different. My thoughts are different because I have this worry like, oh, he's trying to figure this out. And what if this or what if that? And so it does, even though I don't want to internalize it, it is going to affect me in some way. Mm-hmm. And so I need to figure out how to sit with him, like you were saying, in this messy spot. And not have it consume my emotions.
Yeah.
I think one way you do that, we had some really good mentors that I've mentioned before, the Ortons. And when we were working with them, every time we met with them, Jared and I, they would say, okay, tell us some wins. Like what happened this week that's a win? And I think that's a good way to focus while you're dealing with kind of the messy stuff or the hard stuff that might take a while to resolve. To actually notice the small wins that are happening. So for example, mm-hmm. with my son, you know, if I was being a good listener, I could be like, okay, so I know you put a lot of thought into this. Like, what have you learned about yourself? Has anything come up that you're like, oh, I am grateful for this. Mm-hmm. Just noticing the positive things that are happening so that you can see progress. Like you're not just stuck in this moment. Look at the things you've actually done so far. You've eliminated yeah. this particular thought, which you've been playing around with. And finally you're thinking, nope, I don't want that. Okay, now let's move on. And so maybe trying to bring out one of those questions is, you know, what are you learning? What wins have you had with this situation? And that can also help you focus on when you're not talking to that person. Okay, remember, what are they learning? What progress are you seeing? Oh, I'm seeing this. Okay, yes, we're okay. Everything's okay. Yeah. We're moving forward, you know?
Yeah.
And so I really like that changing your focus from not just sitting in the problem, but also noticing that there are good things happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's important. I think that's one of the things that can keep someone going is like other people are noticing that I'm trying, you know, mm-hmm. like I think it's so important to acknowledge that. And I'm not great at doing that. I'm trying to get better. But, you know, especially when it's something that someone really is taking initiative to change in themselves or to work on, or like I've got some friends right now that are, you know, working on all different aspects of their life. That's kind of the fun part of being this age, I guess, is people are in all different phases. Mm-hmm. And it is inspiring to me to kind of watch them take initiative of themselves and be like, this is something I'm working on and changing, or this is something that I've noticed about myself that I want to be better at, or even just this is something that I like about myself. Like when people notice that in themselves, it makes me like sit there and kind of think, wow, like, yeah, that is so true. Like you are doing so good at that. And I think sharing that is important, you know, because people, they know they're trying, but hearing from someone else, hey, I can tell that you're really putting a lot of effort into this. And I think it's, you know, paying off. Like, I think you're doing really good. And I think that's so good to hear, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of the advice you do want to share, I guess, not really advice, but the things you do want to say that are not questions are the praise and the encouragement. And I think a lot of times when you're in it, you don't see it as much. When Dad and I were working with Ortons, some weeks we'd go and it would be, you know, oh, we're supposed to meet with them at this time. I don't know what to share. Like, we haven't done anything this week. We haven't done any of our goals. What do we share? And then after talking with them, we always left feeling like, oh my gosh, I really am doing something. Like, we actually have done a lot and I didn't even notice it. So I think being that cheerleader, when you're talking about supporting someone in their goals, you want to be the cheerleader. Like, that's your role, the cheerleader. And I don't even want to say coach, because usually coaches kind of tell you what to do. But if you're cheering for them and you're seeing, I don't know, part of the role of a cheerleader, they see when a football team is down and not doing well, then they got to come like, okay, we got to get everyone hyped up or whatever. Yeah. And so you're kind of observing and seeing what they need and then cheering for that section, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think the coolest part of a cheerleader at a football game is they get other people involved, you know, like they're responsible for leading cheers in the crowds. They're responsible for telling people like energetically that the team just scored. And so I think that is a cool part of being somebody's friend, is like being that person, like, hey, look at this person. They are doing so good. I think is so cool to have someone brag about you a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It feels good. And it kind of gives you that energy you need when you're feel like you're not moving, is, you know, people are actually noticing and pushing you forward and like, okay, got some more energy. Yeah. I can keep going. It can be really fun. I mean, I think it takes a lot of work in the beginning to change that mindset from advisor to cheerleader.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it can be really fun and less stressful, because it's then you take a lot of that stress off yourself to make it happen or make it right. And you just get to enjoy watching someone work through something and succeed, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, I think it's, I mean, and I think it's also important because it takes a lot of contention out of the relationship, because you aren't making yourself responsible for something you can't control, you know?
And I think it's okay to call that out. One thing I would like to do better, because usually it's after the fact, you know, I've had these conversations, we leave and I'm like, oh, I should have said this. I should have done this. Yeah. And I think it's okay in the middle of a conversation to be like, you know, I kind of feel myself getting tense, and that means I'm probably not going to be the best at this. Could I think about this for a little bit? And then can we meet up again for lunch? Or it's okay to say, like, or even to apologize and say, you know, I'm so sorry. I should not have interjected all my thoughts. I really do want to know what you think. So let me just be quiet for a minute and just tell me how you're feeling right now. You know, it's okay, because you're not going to be perfect at this. So just calling it out and stopping in the middle of that and be like, sorry, I did not mean to give advice. You didn't ask for it. Let's keep going. What are you thinking? Yeah. You know? Well, and I think this is probably a good place to wrap it up, where let's move this off of this podcast now and share with us, who are you going to support this year? Think of someone you know has a goal, and who are you going to support, and how are you going to be their cheerleader? What are you going to do to really cheerlead for them? And, you know, you could share that on our Instagram on Neighboring Well, or you can email us. And sometimes I think the act of writing it down and being accountable just moves it to a more important place in your memory. So write it down. You know, we have, you can email us at neighbors to friends, and it's the number two. So neighbors, number two, friends at Gmail. Or you can go on our Instagram, and I think it'd be fun to just get as many people as we can supported this year. You know, if everyone thinks of someone, write it on a post-it too. Stick it on your mirror and make it so that it's visually in your mind. Mm-hmm. And every time you pass the mirror, you think, oh yeah, have I checked in with this person? What am I doing to cheerlead for them this year? You know, do I need to change my outfit and get a little more sparkly, or do I need to like subdue it a little bit? What do they need in this moment? And let's just move forward with that. Let's actually choose somebody and be their cheerleader for this coming year.
I love that. I think my takeaway from this kind of fun discussion, I think I'm going to focus more on taking myself out of the hot seat in conversations and just allowing myself to experience that person and behold mm-hmm. them and like see them for who they are and not feel like I'm responsible for any of it. Yeah. And I think that's how I'm going to be a cheerleader. I'm not responsible for if the team wins or loses. I'm there with them emotionally if they win and lose, but I'm not responsible for it.
Yeah. And maybe you just think, going back to Winnie the Pooh, focus on honey. Like he's always, he's always focused on honey. So focus on the sweet stuff.
And, yes. Yes.
You know, you have something bad happens and you just think, let's just go get some more honey.
Yeah.
What's some more
Take
sweet
some fluff
stuff
out of your ear? Grab some honey.
That's right.
Go be a good neighbor.
Be a good neighbor. We'll see you next time.